Blog Talk Radio.
Right, there's a song I want everybody to get into it. Young people, y'all can join us if you can. So watch me. Y'all gotta help me. So everybody put your hands together like this. That's it, we're gonna have a good old church. Can I hear the guitar? The guitar, please, come on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I get a spiritual two-step. Boy, listen, listen. Let me put something on your mind. He's my joy all day long. My all day. He said, listen, even when I'm feeling down, even when I'm feeling sad, no matter what's going on, I've learned that I had to find something and a reason to be grateful. And that thing is Jesus. Because Jesus found me in the deepest part of the darkest depths of hell and gave his life so I can live and have everlasting life with him. That's enough no matter whatever I'm going through. That's enough for me to get up, shout, and say, listen, if Jesus can give his life for me to live no matter what I'm going through, I got to push through it. I got to push through it. It ain't that bad that God can't bring me out of it. It ain't that bad that Jesus can't bring me joy in the midst of it. It ain't that bad that I can't find peace in it. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, in these times is the time we got to pull on Jesus even more. Tackle somebody to get to the hem of that garment. Get somebody out your way to get to the hem of that garment. You get to that garment, wrap it around your wrist, and don't let go. Listen, I don't care what you're going through. I truly don't. Because, listen, God is our everything. He's our everything. We say it on a daily basis. If he's our everything, let's walk in everything. In the midst of a storm, let's walk through it. In the valley, let's walk through it. In the pits, in the dark, in the snow, whatever you're going through, push through knowing that God is walking with us. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Monday's Night. Your Fix is 6, and I am still your Pastor McNeil, keeping it real on Monday night. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. We're going to open up this show with a moment of prayer. Amen. Father God, I thank you. Father God, I love you. I adore you. I just want to say thank you for all you've done just on today. Thank you for my health and strength and well-being, God. Thank you for keeping my mind sane, God. Thank you for giving me good health. Thank you for bringing anything to my remembrance that I should remember, even in the midst of not remembering, God. I love you. I adore you, God. Bless those that's less fortunate than me on today, God. Bless those that are suffering. Bless those that are going through the storm. Bless those who have lost their homes in storms, God. God, find them, God, and send peace their way, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, we're nothing without you, God. Oh, we know there's a rainbow covering heaven right now, covering the earth, right, God? We're just waiting for the breakthrough. We're just waiting for your breakthrough. Father God, we just love you. I just want to pray for each and every family that's listening, those that's not listening. Pray for my enemies. Pray for my children, grandchildren, neighbors, friends. I just pray that the joy of the Lord fall upon everyone. And we pray for even our leaders, Father. Allow them to make the right decisions. Touch their hearts. Touch their mind. Touch the ink pens when they sign the paper, God. Touch them when they buy themselves, God. Touch their hearts, God. And bring back this world to you, God. America is yours, God. This is your country. And we thank you in advance, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout out to the First Lady of MCI Ministry Radio. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The one and only Dr. Carolyn McNeil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know. That song just did something to me. I wish a bunch of people was with me and we could have just praised him in our own way. That just, God is my everything. And then he said, let me put something on your mind. Come on, y'all. We can listen. Remember when you had nothing. Remember when you were sick and suffering. Remember before you even knew Christ and he brought us out. Come on. Let us put, listen, he said, let me put something on your mind. In other words, we got to remember before Christ. Where we were before Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just feel, I feel it on this evening, y'all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My title for this evening. Hallelujah. Please write this title down. If you don't feel like writing the title down, amen. Glory to God. The title for this evening is, please accept my apology. Hallelujah. Yes, please accept my apology, and I'll get into the explanation of that a little later on. But right now, Father God, we just thank you. Woo, this has been such a lovely, lovely day. Amen. Listen, when God starts renewing your mind and starts touching your body and start like almost reminding you, you have a work to do, and believe me, I'm not going to let you fall apart. Believe me, I am not going to let you fail this thing. I am not going to let you fail. I am with you, and I will hold you up until you get it right. Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to start at chapter 13, and I'm going to read down to verse 18. But we're going to be focusing on verse 17. But I need to read it this way because I have to get this understanding to God's people. Amen. Glory to your name. Amen. There's so much happening in Philadelphia. That just, you know, I used to live there, and as such, we always say the city of brotherly love. But, you know, me and First Lady was talking this morning, and the first thing came out of my mouth after we watched the news is like, Lord, we got to pray for that city. We got to pray that city, that spirit of death out of that city. That's the first thing came out of her mouth. She didn't say good morning, hello, hallelujah, not. She just said, Lord, we got to pray. And that's the way we got to be in tune with God at all times, because sometimes we could hear something and see something, and we bypass it because it's not us, or we just let it go. And immediately we go into prayer. We got to get the warring angels right on that thing, right then and there. Amen. We don't want to get a room to the enemy to keep on destroying a city. Amen. The Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Those times when people trying to talk to you, or they might smell a different way, or they look different from you, and you think, you know, we above them, we ain't got time to talk to them, and, you know, that's the one coming, and like everybody's sharp, and they coming to church, and you looking down on them. And I'm not saying you do, but I'm just saying if you do, you know, that we got to be so careful that we're not entertaining an angel, that God has sent them there to test your behavior, test your attitude, test that judgmental spirit that you say you don't do. I don't judge people. Amen. We got to be so careful. In other words, I think God is telling us to continue to love thy neighbor, no matter what they look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter what they come. It is still for us to love them. The first words say, let brotherly love continue. Continue. That means on a continuous basis, all we do, we are to operate and walk in love. Amen. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. We're one body. Our First Lady was talking about that on Sunday when she was in the book of Isaiah chapter 61. That we got to remember the lost. We have to remember those are still bound. Those are still in prison. We got to go out and do a work. Amen. I don't want to keep elaborating. It just hits me. But I'm going to try to read this right down so I can get on to verse 17. Amen. Hallelujah. It is hard. Yes, it is. Remember them that are in bounds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And in other words, don't even worry about it. God got it. You ain't got to lose your mind. You ain't got to tear his clothes up and burn his car. You ain't got to go to jail for him stabbing him a million times. Just leave it alone. God got it. Amen. You ain't got to sit there and watch Lifetime and Forensic Files and try to figure out what to do. God got it. Amen. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come on, now we ain't got the word. Listen, he already got us. Amen. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts who whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good, to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Hallelujah. Our title is, what's the title? Accept my apology. Amen. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And it takes me to a place where even on today, it seems like we've forgotten to respect the man and woman of God. We've forgotten who they are. We want to call them by their first name. We want to say what we want to do. We want to talk about them behind their back. We want to tell other people that we can do a better job than them. We want to backbite, and the Bible just told us for us to obey them. Amen. That they have the rule over you, and submit ourselves, they say yourselves, for they watch for your soul. But these are the same people when you're going through, pray for you. These are the same people when you're in need, go to God for you. These are the same people who call your job for you, who write references for you, who answer calls for you and do all the things. But when you get upset with them, then they become some other names that we shouldn't even be thinking or saying. Then they become all these other things. I ain't coming to church. They don't need me. I ain't got to sing today. I ain't going to play no drums today. I ain't playing no keyboard. Let them find somebody else. That is not a spirit of God. That is not the spirit of God. We are to lighten the load for the leaders. Amen. We are to lighten the load. Amen. And we all heard of people who serve, and what I call this, they serve roast preachers. In other words, you want to talk and just burn a preacher down when they ain't around on Sunday for whatever reason. I call it roast preacher, roasting the preacher, like putting them in the oven, just cook them. We heard of people who serve like that. And for it's a shame, but people do it. Amen. People do it. And we roast the preacher for Sunday dinner. That's crazy. So those individuals work to undermine the other people, congregation. They get together to tear the congregation support up. Anybody who's supporting the pastor, they try to break them down. It's crazy because we got to understand being a church leader is very, very, very draining. It takes a lot. It's not just walking around with a cloth, a big Bible, a cross on your neck, a collar on your neck. It's prayer. It's fasting. It's seeking God for detailed prayer. It's prophesying. It's being there for you. It's even sometimes putting their own needs aside, putting their family needs aside, putting their significant others aside, because they're on assignment. We have been called to do a work for the Lord. But in the same sense, when the people get upset, you know, I ain't going to that church. Every time I turn around, they got an offering for this, a tax for this, and this and that. And that's one of the biggest tricks of the enemy when it comes to money. I don't know what it is with people when it comes to money. The lights got to stay on. In the summertime, we need the air conditioner. In the wintertime, we need heat. We need new chairs. We need instruments. We need flyers. things. We need communion things. We need instruments of communion. We need microphones. We just in a need also. It's the church. It's the church. It amazed me how you can go to the church, the place that saves your soul, the place where God has put together for us to be so we can grow up to be righteous and strong and rewarded to save other souls, to be taught and be put in a position to help others. But yet and still, when things don't go our way, we want to say and do what we want. So I'm speaking on behalf of, you know, for all of those who have done this, please accept my apology. Because we're going to get it right. And I mean, we got to take our flesh and our natural feelings out of the situation. You know, I know people who sit there and smile in your face and laugh, but their heart and their eyes say wicked things about me. Their heart and their eyes say wicked things about the leader. I can see it. I don't have to respond to it, and I don't even have to let them know that I see it. I see it, and I say, Lord, why? I'm only doing what you're trying to tell me to do. And guess what? I have to stand. I can't surrender, no matter what comes my way. So on behalf of those people, I want to say, please accept our apology. Amen. And I want to talk about three different things that goes on in that situation. Amen. Because the author of Hebrews calls his readers to be proactive in making their leaders' jobs easier. We just said that. Matter of fact, it is an honor to serve my pastor. It is an honor to serve my bishop. It is an honor to be on the usher board. It is an honor to do the announcement. It is an honor to clean the bathroom. It is an honor to be a greeter. Whatever it takes to take some of the burden off the leader, it is an honor. It's not a punishment. You're not being looked down on. You think the disciples, when Jesus told one just to sit here, they oh, my, well, I got to sit here. You take all of them with you. How come I can't go? How come he can't sit here? I've been in the church. I've been here with you longer than he has. I've been following you longer than he has. No. Order. There's a reason for everything. There's a reason that God told a leader that you should be the praise and worship leader. Because God knows what's in you. It's up to the leader to put you in that place and continue to pray for you. And guess what? As you worship, that gift, it starts coming forth. It starts coming forth. And as it comes forth, it gets anointed. And it gets anointed. And as the anointing comes forth, manifestation starts happening in the atmosphere. People, you know, people can get delivered and saved by anointed song. Anointed a worship leader who's singing in the presence of the Lord for the Lord and not for their own glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It is an honor. It is an honor to make the pastor's job easier. Why do you think the pastor have in order certain people to come into church early? Okay. Why do you think you got keys? Not to make your key ring heavier, or not to make it seem like you got car key, house key, and church keys, and job keys, and you got a lot of keys. No, it's to make sure all things that needs to be done, the pastor don't have to get there. The pastor can call you and say, listen, I need some flyers printed out for this week's service. I need you to get there a little earlier, make sure all the microphones are working, all the batteries in there, make sure we have water, juice, whatever it may be, whatever your ministry may be. Those are the things that helps makes the job easier for the pastor, for the leader. It's not for you to get there and they say, the pastor say, well, today, I don't want you to leave praise and worship today. I want you to read the announcement. Huh? Or you, I've been sitting in this seat. Who is these people? No, that's not the behavior of God's people. So once again, I'm going to, please accept my apology for all those who have done these things, because we're going to get it right. Amen. We're going to get this thing right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to make the leader's job easier. Amen. Because this single verse, verse 17, amen, the writer said, uses the words obey and submit. So why should we obey our leader? I'm going to tell you why. But the words are obey and submit. I don't care if you don't like the way my hair looks today. I don't care if you don't like the color robe I got on today. I don't care if you don't want to hear the word. If you're in position and God has called you to be up on, to be a server unto that leader of your house of fellowship, be obedient to God. Be obedient to the God in your leader. Stop looking at the individual. Because guess what's going to happen one day? Your turn is going to come. And that same spirit is going to follow you. And your leaders and all the people under you is going to act just like you act. And one day you're going to have to get back on the phone and call the leader that you were so disrespectful to, that you was always honorary to, and say, I can't understand what's going on. I don't think I can do this. Why is people treating me like this? And they're going to remind you of the spirit that you're walking in, that they tried to tell you even then. Amen. Hallelujah. But we have to obey and submit ourselves first, because those who lead our churches are watching out for our spiritual development. Amen. They have an awesome responsibility, because one day they'll answer to God for how faithful they carried out their assignment. See, you don't see that part. You don't know that part. We have to answer to God about our behavior. We have to answer to God about the time that God told us to fast. Did we really fast for 40 days or whatever time God gave us? Did we go on to them assignments out of 30 days, 28 days out of 30, having been home, just jumping from place to place, ministering, evangelizing, minister, praying, fasting with other organizations, helping other churches develop and get themselves together? See, you don't know. We have to be accountable for what the things that God tells us to do. So, yes, you're there to lighten the load for us. Like Abraham, like Joshua for Moses. You have to lighten the load when things start getting heavy. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to thank you. We're going to go to a song, and we're going to come right back. Amen. I don't want to blow it all in one load. Amen. I just want to give you a little bit now, and we're going to come back. Amen.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. Come on.
Lord!
clap your hands and bless the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to take a moment, amen, to have our announcements. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Welcome, 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 welcome to MCI Ministry Radio, where the pastors are Pastor Matthew McNeil and Apostle Dr. Carolyn McNeil. We thank God for you, you, and you. This is our announcement on, we got some special things coming up, which is going to be so awesome and explosive. Amen. We had a three days of the Great Awakening Revival, the Blazing Altar, y'all. God has given us a fresh wind, a fresh breeze, and fresh revelations to bring the word to you. So on Monday night, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil will be on at 6 p.m. This is our three-day revival. Come on, we gather all the people. Let them know that we are in revival on MCI Ministry Radio. So again, on Monday night, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil will be on Monday at 6 p.m. On Tuesday, we got Bishop Thurman Butler at 6 p.m. Come on, we're going to do the Blazing Altar. We are in revival, y'all. So Bishop Thurman Butler all the way from Richmond, Virginia. And also the last day, which is on Wednesday, will be me, Dr. Carolyn McNeil, at 6 p.m. Don't miss it. Give somebody else the number. Let them come on. We are looking for a high time in the Lord. And remember, distance is not a barrier. You can get the same thing on MCI Ministry Radio. Praise God. So we thank God for that. Also, we are listeners supported. So when you listen, you can support the ministry. Sow a prophetic seed into the ministry that we can go further into the work of the Lord. It's many things that we want to do, many things that we want to accomplish through MCI Ministry Radio. This is a ministry that cares about God's people. We love you. We love you. We love you. And guess what, y'all? Jesus loves you. And so do we. So I want you to be blessed. Give them the number. You be the evangelist. You be the supporter. You be the uplifter. You let God use you. Amen. Praise God. And don't forget, hallelujah, we'll be back with the same days of going back into ministry. So just be a support, and we're going to continue to give you updated information, give you updated people that's going to come on, that's going to share the word with you. We're looking for a fresh word, fresh revelation, and a newness, and a new walk, a new talk with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So we bless God for you, you, and you. God bless you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, First Lady, for those announcements. Amen, hallelujah. Thank you, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. I was searching through my word, amen, just something to follow up on what we was just reading, the book of John, 1 John 4:19. Say, our love for others is our grateful response to the love of God first demonstrated to us. That's how God has demonstrated his love to us first, and that's how we have to demonstrate our love to our leaders as well as our fellow man. Amen. Because remember, we're talking about accepting our apology, and a lot of times we won't even apologize even when we are wrong. Amen. I just want to get back to understanding the place and the responsibility that the leaders have. It amazed me, and I think one of the faults with most leaders are we get too attached, we get too friendly. That's why it's not good to take one person or two people out to church and you're always having fellowship with them, you're always having lunch with them, you're always going shop. No, because then what happens is it becomes girlfriend now, it becomes homie now, it becomes, you know, we tight now, and after a while, they don't want to do the things that they supposed to do in the church because they figure y'all tight, and they be like, well, you know, I don't really feel like doing it today, Carolyn or Matt, you know, and then you start losing respect for the godly person, and like, wait a minute, I'm still your pastor, I'm still your overseer, so, you know what I mean, and that's what happens when sometimes, and I'm not saying everybody, but some people just can't take that. That's one of the things I learned, like, I just can't do it. Like, I just can't pick one person out and, like, we always going to go hang out. We always going to do that. No, we're not going to do that. Amen. So, please forgive me my voice. But that is some things that even as leaders, we got to get to the point where we understand our place and what we do wrong in that situation too. Because a lot of times we want to, you know, we want to love on an individual. We want to make them feel special. Amen. We want to, especially a new person come to the church, you know, you might give them a few things at first. And, you know, and because nobody never did it for them. They attach themselves to you. You either become like a mother and you become like a father and they attach themselves to them. But the teaching of the separation has to come eventually. You know, we got to understand, like, yeah, you know, I know that you, you know, you look at me like a mother, you look at me like a father, but I'm your pastor right now. And, amen, I need you to get that understanding. I still can love you from afar. You don't have to call me every day. You don't have to call me all night. And some people can't take that. So, and when the leader is so humble, so peaceful and understanding and explaining themselves, they can't take that. Oh, they just kicked me to the curb now. Somebody else new came in the church. Oh, you're going to be all up. You like them more than me. Well, how come you don't hug me the way you hug them? Well, how come I can never get a hug? How come I can't never reach you? How come every time I call you, Bridget, you praying, so you say you praying? Wait a minute. That is not, first of all, it's not your place to be asking all them questions. You know what I mean? And we gotta learn to break them barriers. We got to understand it is boundaries. When Jesus went away, he told them, like, the disciples, you chill right here. I'll be back. He, like, you know what I mean? Like, the leaders need that intimate time with God, too. They're carrying a lot of burdens, not only everybody else's, but their own. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we just read how that we have to obey and submit ourselves and why we should obey our leaders, because those who lead our churches are watching out for our spiritual development. Amen. They have a responsibility also, and one day they'll answer to God for how faithfully, see, that's it, how faithfully they carried out their role. Not that they just did it, but they did it faithfully. They was always doing what they were supposed to do. And matter of fact, what we should be doing is mimicking their lifestyle. We should be mimicking the way they behave unto God. We should be mimicking them, so when our turn comes, we'll know how to treat people, and we'll know how to take when people treat us bad, because it just happens that way. Amen. I hate to say it, but people just do that. Amen. Hallelujah. But God is an awesome God. Amen. And let's not forget, the second thing is, because our support lightens their load, and more than that, it gives the leader joy. I've heard First Lady say it so many times. I've heard her say it even up to the day. She says, so I was proud. I am proud when I put you guys up there in Bible study. I was so proud to see how y'all raised them and all y'all came up with y'all. Everybody went different avenues. One was like a scientist. One was like bold and one was meek and one, you know, so diverse, but the pastor was proud because not only did the work get done, they came biblically, they came right with the right spirit, nobody was out of order. And I, you know, and it saddens when a pastor or leader takes all that time and watch the development of the sanctuary, of the people. I don't want to say students, but of the people, of the people, of former leaders of the church, and the pastor can sit back and lead the church and say, I want you to take and do this Sunday. Here's the keys. Open up the church Sunday and know it's going to be ran the right way. Amen. That's a beautiful thing for the pastor to know that she can go all the way to Africa or Guam or wherever they may go. Maybe if they just go somewhere and fellowship with God and come back and the spirit is still the same. The flock is even bigger now. And the people she left knows when they walk back in the door to turn leadership back over without saying, I did this. If it wasn't for us, this person wouldn't be there. We did this and started to take over the church because you got a church. Because you got to remember, God is still watching. And God knows we don't want the wrath of God upon us for being disobedient. Amen. But that is such a beautiful thing to see people when they first came into church and watch them grow. Watch them grow from smoking and lying and deceiving and missing church and coming back and missing church and coming back and coming and sticking in there and sticking in there. And then one day you just give them responsibility because God told you to. And before you know it, they're operating in that responsibility. But at the same time, their spirit, man, is growing. And all the things of the world start to fall off of them. And the spiritual things are starting to grow because you can see the way they talk. You can see the way they walk, the way they behave, the way they read, the way they pray. You can see these things starting to happen. And that is a beautiful thing for a leader to see that. So don't look at it as a bad thing when a leader say no. They do so much for us. Amen. Hallelujah. That does, oh man, it does so much for the leader. More than anything, it gives them joy. That is so beautiful. It's like doing the right thing for the Lord, knowing that the Lord is getting joy. Not saying the leaders are God, but they're like your parents. They go to your graduations. They go to your baseball, all your achievements. They're there to root them and be joyful with you. They're your supporters if you allow them to be. So once again, I accept. Please, leaders, accept the apology for all those who may just got out their lane, went in the wrong lane, said some things they wasn't supposed to say. And I'm not going to say no names, but I can say this for sure. I know the pastor, the leader of our church, was even called out to fight. That's how bad it gets sometimes. When a person's mind and spirit is not in the right place, you find it in your heart to call the pastor out. I'll meet you outside. And I can also say that there's been times that the leader got beside himself and just couldn't take it no more because the immaturity got in, pride snuck in, and wanted to fight also. Amen. And I'm saying these are the teaching things because we have to realize we're still human. But if we don't practice a certain lifestyle, those spirits will come up, especially when we think we done got rid of them, especially when we think that ain't a part of us no more. If you ain't really worked on these things, if we ain't really worked on these things, they come back. And they smack you right in the face in front of everybody. And everybody's jaw is open. And everybody's mouth is open. How dare he? Wasn't he the one just praying over so-and-so? Wasn't he the one just opening up in service? Ain't he the pastor? Did he just say you going to punch so-and-so in the mouth? We got to remember we do all this unto God. We got to get back in place. So please, please accept my apology. Amen. Hallelujah. The third thing is because a believer does himself or herself no good by tearing down the church leader through, insubordination. Oh, man, the pastor called that. Oh, I can't call that spirit. Oh, my God. Amen. It'll come back to me. But through insubordination. It is to a believer's advantage to support his or her leader. It is to our advantage to support our leader. Amen? It is insubordinate. That is crazy to be a part of a ministry and somebody do everything they can to help you grow out of the dark and murky place that you were. Make sure things are falling in the right place for you in your life. Your lifestyle is so different now. But because some things we haven't worked on, we allow those things to creep back up in the midst of a place where you become jealous of the leader. Who she thinks she is. I look better. It don't have nothing to do with none of these things. But this is how the enemy works. This is how the enemy works. Hallelujah. Absalom. That's that spirit. Pew, pang. I had to listen. Let me tell you how good God is. He done took me from where I sit right now back into the Mount Carmel International Church, watched the pastor preach a word, and it came right out of my mouth, and it hit my heart. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is so, so real, and he is so free to come into our hearts and our mind and our spirit if we allow him to. Sometimes we put them roadblocks up. We put them stop signs up. We put them yielding signs up. And we put all these things up. We put this sign up, oh, in construction so nobody can't enter. And we won't allow God to go into the far places where that thing and those things are that keeps us from hearing him. Listen, not only hearing, but allowing him to change, mold us. We constantly talk about the clay, the potter's wheel, and how God mold. And that's why a lot of these clay and the things never come out like a beautiful object is supposed to, because that's when it falls apart, because that thing that God tried to make that fixes the whole statue, we won't let go. It dents right there. And you get crippled. That's the one thing that spiritually cripples us. I just love and adore the teachings that I've got in Mount Carmel International Church. And I'm only saying that because they work. I'm not saying it to puff nobody chest up, to boast on nobody. I'm saying it because they work in your lifestyle if you use the concept of the Bible. And the one thing that God has been dealing with me is you have to know my word. You have to know it. You can't fight without bullets. You can't shoot a gun without bullets. You can't shoot a gun without ammunition. Your sword is just dull on both sides. You have to know. When you know it, you know him. You know of him. It will teach you all the ups and downs of your lifestyle. It will teach you a way out of no way. It will teach you how to rise instead of sink. It will teach you how to move mountains out of your way. It will teach you how to fight and not retreat. It will teach you that God rules in our lives if we allow him to. On a daily basis, I say, Lord, I am sorry. And I go into detail for everything that I'm sorry about. And it's not for me to tell everybody what I'm sorry about. That's between me and God. But when I know I'm wrong, oh, wait a minute. The first person I had to apologize is to God. And Father God, if you can touch the hearts of the people that I may have harmed or hurt or disrespected or dishonored or whatever it may be, touch their hearts. So when I go back to say, please accept my apology, they're going to accept my apology without judging me, without bashing me, without trying to put me down. We got to come out of this place of putting people down. We are uplifters. We are uplifters. We are human flashlights with the best bulbs in the world, the Holy Ghost, flashing throughout the world. When we walk, we ought to. When people see a smile, it's not your pearly whites they should see. It should be a glow of joy. That smile to say to somebody, oh, my God, how did they get through? I know I need to talk to that individual. When you walk with that walk of favor, when you walk with that walk of confidence, when you speak in confidence and knowing that God is with you all the way, knowing that God is going to make the situation better, knowing that there's no reason to be doubting anything. We say these things, you know, God will make a way out of nowhere. We say these things, but do we really mean it? Do we operate in it? Listen, I'm even get to the point, and I'm going to say this in a positive way. I'm not saying it, did I test God? I do this to see if God do it. But oh, when I give his word back to him, and I see the man, I ain't got to test God because I already know. But every now and then when I go through something, I remind God of what he said to me. You got to remind God of what he said to you. That's why you have to get in here and get his word. We have to get in here and know his word. Amen. Glory to his name. Those are the things that's going to keep us united. It's going to keep us strong. Like right now, even through this coronavirus thing, whatever it may be, whatever it's called, hallelujah, glory to God. Even in the midst of this, hallelujah, what are we going to do? And are we really going to believe in God? Are we? That old scripture, no man can serve two masters. For he hate one and love the other, or else he will what? Hold to one and despise the other. I can't play on that fence. That's why they put barbed wire on the fence to cut you all up. Either you stay on this side where you belong, because every time you go over, you start cutting yourself. And every time you cut yourself, you start bleeding. And every time you start bleeding, you start losing life. Because the blood that God is putting in you, you done start cutting it down. I'm talking about spiritual blood. Because if I stay on the side I'm supposed to, I ain't got to keep going on the other side. Because you start losing life on the other side. You start losing things that God has promised you. Your gifts now, they're stored up. Your blessings are stored up. They're not falling down here to you like that God has said he was going to give them. He can't trust you right now because you keep going back and forth. So right now, you need to make up your mind today who you may serve. We can't keep playing. We can't, you know, people manipulate that scripture. Do unto others as others do to you. Oh, he shouldn't have treated me like that. I'm going to do the same thing. But we say, what do that scripture really mean? Hallelujah. Come on now. We got to get back to a place where we know without a shadow of a doubt that God is on our side. Hallelujah. I done messed around and turned my page. I'll find it, though. Oh, Lord, I thank you either way. But hallelujah, really, please have that understanding that God is so real and God only wants the best for us. I'm only saying it because I know I'm a witness. I'm a witness of it. I know what God has done for me. I know what he's done for me. And I know what he's done for people around me. I've seen the move of God. Amen. I've seen it. We got to get to that point where we just have to understand and trust God by how? Trusting and believing that the leaders that God has put in our life, listen, it may sound funny, but the leaders almost know you better than you know yourself. Not the natural things, because we don't know everything about you. Oh, but God will tell the leader how to pray for you, where your weaknesses are, who and what is standing in your way from getting closer to God. Oh, yes, God will do that. That's why you got to listen, why you think it's such an honor to bless your leader? Don't let people fool you. I ain't buying her no flowers. I ain't paying for her to do this. I ain't paying for her. Listen, you'll be surprised how God... I'm not even going to get into that because that's a whole different thing. Listen, learn to bless your leaders. This is a nugget I'm just giving away for free. If you really want to see God move in your life, if you really want to see the manifestation in God, okay, take it any way you want. But if you can ask some people who bless their leaders without anybody knowing or bless their leaders, however they do it, and see how God works in their life. See the favor of God in their life. it just amazed me how as soon as the thing talking about blessing the people who pray and stand in the gap for you and sacrifice for you, oh my God, we just go crazy. I ain't got time to get, but you'll go down there and spend $300, your whole check on four pieces of hair that's not even the color, the wrong texture, don't even fit your roots, your hairline be back here, and you think you look good, and they laughing at you. They ain't got no prayer life for you. They can't lay hands on you. They can lay hair on you. They can't lay no hands on you. And the woman just sacrificing and stand up and fasting and crying and plead with God to give you another chance, you won't even come in their direction to see if they okay. You don't even call and just leave a voicemail to see if they okay. Oh, hallelujah, glory to his name. Yes, Lord. I'm going to end this. I get a little out of control sometimes. I get a little hype. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A believer does himself or herself no good by tearing down his or her church leaders through insubordination. It is to the believer's advantage to support his or her leaders. And as we reflect on this and reflect on these scriptures, let us try to identify some specific ways that we can demonstrate support for our church as well as our leaders, and for us to be sure and include prayer for them. Include prayer. When you make your list, include prayer on your list for your leader. Not them crazy demonic prayers. I hope they break their leg. I hope they car. None of that. Come on. Let's stop. Because people are doing some stuff these days. You're going down to the tarot reader, the palm person, the horoscope person. I'm going to really get them this time. Listen. You got to answer to God about all this. Bless your leaders through prayer. Ask God to bless them and strengthen them. Ask God to open their eyes even more. Give them more divine wisdom. Give them more love and heart of Christ for not only you, but for your family and for the nations of the world, for our leaders of this country. Let's get back to praying for our leaders and lifting our leaders up and showing our leaders the love of Christ that they done put in so much for us. Now it's time for us to switch it and sacrifice for them, because that's how we was taught. So in closing, please accept my apology. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to play a song. And remember, this is your Fix It Six, and I've been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. We thank all our listeners. We thank all our supporters. We pray that you continue to be a blessing to the ministry. We pray that you continue to be listeners. We pray that you allow us to continue to do God's work in this ministry. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you for what you've done on this evening. We pray that your word fall on fertile ground. We pray that you touch our hearts, God. We pray that anything that's not like you, you fix it. Renew our mind from the minds of the world, from the ways of the world, and from ways of our own thinking and our own behaviors, God. We give our lives over to you on this day, God. We give our hearts, minds, and spirit to you to do as you please and as you will with this life that we give unto you, because your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross so we can live, shedded his precious blood, his sinless blood, so we can live and not die and spend everlasting life with you in heaven. To continue to praise you, Lord. We continue to worship you. And we continue to say, God is good. And we love you, Father God. And we thank you for what you've already done. And in the midst of all this corona, in the midst of us waking up, and for us, the midst of us coming out of it, we just want to say thank you. And Father, we ask you to fix the brokenness in us. On this day we have prayed. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a song.
Good night, and God bless.